Cheesehead Nation, and welcome to the Railbird Central Morning Talk Show here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm glad you all could join me this morning. It is the first day of October, and we are talking about the Green Bay Packers and their upcoming matchup with the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field this weekend. So, excited about that. If you are joining us on the live blog, please remember, as I wrote earlier, that the live blog is moderated entirely by Twitter. Do not send comments, but all tweets with the hashtags Railbird or hashtags CheeseheadTV will get through to the blog. So feel free to chime in at any time, send me your thoughts, and we'll open up the phone lines a little bit later as well. I'm also happy to announce I think we will finally be podcasting the Railbird Central talk show here on Cheesehead TV. So, if you don't already, subscribe to us on iTunes. Just do a simple little search, and you can find us very easily. So, happy to do that. Hopefully later this afternoon I'll have the podcast all up. Takes iTunes a little bit to pick it up, though. Might take a half a day or a day to actually get up on there, but it'll be up in time for this weekend's game, that's for sure. So, we are talking about the Packers this morning, and our roadmap for the show is today's Packers Daily Links, which the link is on the live blog. So, just take a little click there, and it will take you to a screen that looks like this. It is our Packers Daily Links, and today's top story is about the Packers becoming one-dimensional. No running game. At least, that is the fear that is in fans of the Green Bay Packers. Little story from Jason Wilde of ESPN Wisconsin, ESPNMilwaukee.com, ESPNMadison.com. Jason, how should I write that? I'm every day I struggle. Should I write ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison? What should I write? So many options. I change it all the time. But, anyhow, he has a quote from offensive coordinator Joe Philbin. If you click this little link here, it'll take you to Jason's story. Looks a little bit like this, and I can see that his story isn't loaded on my computer. But, anyhow, perhaps if you click the link, it'll show up a lot better on your computer. But if I could just read this quote from offensive coordinator Joe Philbin, I think it's very interesting. He says, quote, "I don't think we ever want to get totally one-dimensional. So say, okay, we've got the short passing game. That's our run game, carte blanche. It may work for a couple weeks, but you may end up in trouble. By the same token, you've got to have balance. You can't just tee it up every first and 10 and run the ball." So, very interesting thoughts from Joe Philbin. I think he's saying what a lot of fans are thinking in their minds. Is the running game going to get moving anytime soon? You know, the Packers, here's my take on it. The Packers, I'm willing to give Brandon Jackson and John Kuhn a little bit of time. A game, two, three more. Certainly, ever since Ryan Grant went down, the running game hasn't been well against either Buffalo or Chicago. I'm willing to give it a little bit of time. I'm probably a little more patient than perhaps many fans. Everybody wants to see immediate results, and I do too. I like to see that. But I think it's time. But by the same token, as Joe Philbin said, you can't wait forever. You know, the more this running game fails, the more you have to make a trade, I'm thinking. But I'm willing to, you know, let's try to establish this run game. And it's not going to be easy against the Detroit Lions. I got a feeling that this is still going to be talked about a week from now. Everybody says it's the Lions, they're 0-3, they've been very poor for several years, and what a better time to get the running game going. Well, guess what? The defensive line of the Lions is pretty damn good. It's one of the better ones in the NFL, with first-round draft pick Ndamukong Suh in there, and Kyle VandenBosch and former Packer Corey Williams. They're playing really well, and it's not going to be easy to get a running game going against the Lions this weekend. I think the Packers can handle the Lions easily, but it may not be through the run game once again. And we're going to be talking about the same thing a week from now. They need to face a cupcake running defense some week here to perhaps get it going. But, you know, and perhaps that's why we give Brandon Jackson and John Kuhn and Dimitri Nance another 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we really, you know, hit on them hard. The Packers, I'd like to see them establish the run game, because I think once you get a guy like Brandon Jackson 15 carries a game, at some point he's going to start hitting a little bit. He's going to start, you know, hitting holes, not hitting people. He's been hitting the backs of his offensive linemen plenty in the past couple weeks. But I do think that, you know, get him rolling a little bit, get him the ball a little bit more. It will come. They need to establish the run. They need to have success early, though. It's got to start happening in the first quarter. And I don't know what the remedy for that is, whether they have to run more on conventional passing downs. You know, of course, that is a big risk. You know, when it's third and 10, you don't want to run the ball. You know, you almost know you're not going to get all 10 yards. You might get 8, but that's not good enough for the first down, even though 8 yards is a good run in the NFL for any level. But, you know, it's on the onus of the offensive linemen to get this running game going. Chad Clifton is perhaps the biggest offender when it comes to the run game as far as blocking goes. And that's why, you know, I didn't want to really, you know, harp on the offensive line this morning, but perhaps I have to. And Chad Clifton in particular, you know, not just Chad Clifton, though. I take that back. It's on many players, as I laid out somewhere in today's Packers Daily Links. In fact, why don't I just go back there while I'm on the topic. If we go back to today's Packers Daily Links, and the second story for the day comes from an article by the Associated Press, and I'm assuming Corey Jenkins, the Wisconsin Bureau of the Associated Press. If you click the link, it takes you to his article. This one happens to be at Fox Sports. But, you know, Darren College is quoted in the article, and I thought he said saying, you know, that's pretty common sense and makes sense for Packer fans. And Darren College says, quote, "We've got a lot of things to fix besides who's just running the ball. We've got to make better holes. We've got to make better reads. We've got to move the pile. We've got to do a lot of things better. We've got a lot of things to work on." And that's exactly right. And that's not to, you know, from my perspective, totally overlook Brandon Jackson and John Kuhn and who's running the ball, because they're certainly under the microscope as well. But he's right, there's more than just that. Plenty more. As I was saying, Chad Clifton has not been good in the run game, and that's what makes me think that a change could eventually be coming at left tackle. I don't know how long. You know, I say, you know, give him some time to establish this ground game, a couple games. How long can you really wait? I have no confidence that Chad Clifton is going to become any better in the run game, in his run blocking. I think if he does get perhaps a little healthy, He's fine as a pass blocker, protecting Aaron Rodgers' backside. But I have no confidence that Chad Clifton is going to get better as a run blocker. It's not going to happen. It hasn't. He's never been a good run blocker. A good one. Perhaps at the peak of his career, he was an adequate one. But he's never been a good road grader. Guys get around him too easily. He's not... He's slow getting to his spots, and he's not able to lock them up, the defenders. So there's a lot to be said there. And the Packers try to avoid, I think, running to the left side of the line as opposed to, you know, more often running to the right side. But you can't be one-dimensional in that fact either. You can't simply run to the right. Teams will pick up on that awful quick. But, you know, Darren College is at fault too. And I've never seen him be a dominant run blocker, which is disappointing. He's hot and cold. He can do a good job one play and a poor job the next, which is a little bit discouraging. He can do okay. But it's like I said, hot and cold. It's not there all the time. And the tight ends, as I said in my film review earlier this week, if you look through the archives at Cheesehead TV, the tight ends were a lot at fault for the poor running game against Chicago. JerMichael Finley trying to take on Julius Peppers, and I realize that is not an easy task. Julius Peppers is very good. Everybody wondered when he got his millions how he would be performing. Well, he still got it. Julius Peppers is still very good. And that's not easy for JerMichael Finley to take him on. But JerMichael, you're in your third year now. You don't have to win the battles. You don't have to put Julius Peppers on his back and pancake him. But let's try to neutralize him. Let's not whiff on cut blocks where your face mask is in the ground and Julius Peppers is making the tackle. Donald Lee, if you want to see more playing time instead of Tom Crabtree, let's block Lance Briggs so he's not making 5-yard tackles in the backfield. So the offensive linemen aren't totally off the hook here. The tight ends have to, you know, are as big a part of this as anyone when they run the ball. So that's my opinion on the run game. And just, you know, perhaps one more issue here before I open up the phone lines. And that brings us to our third story on today's Packers Daily Links. Just a little blog article here I saw this morning. And that comes from Meat Packers Union and the Ghostwriter FG Union. I think it's a ghostwriter. I don't think really his name is Union. But that's beside the point. He brings up the topic of the Super Bowl. And if you look at this article right here and click the link that says Super Bowl, it'll take you to Meat Packers Union and this article right here with the owl on it. Nice picture. The owl swooping up the field mouse. So, but anyhow, FG Union brings up Super Bowl teams and running games. And he says, quote, "Even if we never get the running game going, we still have a shot at the Super Bowl. Several teams in recent memory have won or come damn close with a heavy pass attack." And that's true, as I wrote. The Colts and the Saints are come to mind as teams without good running attacks that won the Super Bowl in the past couple of years. So it can be done. The Packers don't need this dominant run game to win the Super Bowl. That's for sure. But the argument is they do need a run game. They need the threat of a run game. And, you know, that's what at least the Saints had last year. You know, Drew Brees is throwing the ball all over the field, but they had Pierre Thomas and the home run threat Reggie Bush back there, and at least you have to respect that as a defense. And if the Packer run game can't get going soon, nobody is going to respect the Packer run game. They might play cover two like the Bears did and feel free to give up all the short passes. And I think my colleague at Cheesehead TV here, Aaron Nagler, he tweeted or write it, I don't remember, but you know, he said, you know, when you give up all those short passes and you're passing 45 times a game, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot at some point. You know, there's going to be a fumble like James Jones had or a interception when you're dropping back to pass 45 times. You know, at some point, or just simply turning the ball over on downs. It's not going to happen all the time if that's what you have to rely on. These short dump-off passes. So yes, the Packers need to establish a run game soon. And that brings up trade possibilities. Will it ever happen? We've been talking now for about ever since Ryan Grant got injured. You know, practically 3 weeks about this. But anyhow, please, I open up the forum to you. Please leave your thoughts on the live blog. Once again, to everybody listening, we don't have anybody moderating comments, so please use Twitter. Tweet with either the hashtags Railbird or hashtags CheeseheadTV, and it will get through. And if not, I'm going to open up the phone lines. The phone number here at Cheesehead TV, area code 646-797-2909. It's up on the screen. Once again, that's 646-797-2909. Please feel free to call in. Share your thoughts on the running game, what the Packers need to do. Is it Kuhn and Jackson and Nance? Is it the offensive line? Is it the tight ends? Do they need to trade? There's all these things we can talk about, and I want to know what you think on the topic. I've been talking here for nearly 20 minutes. It's your turn. I want to go through some of these possibilities, and I do see comments coming through on our live blog. Thank you for, giving me your thoughts. John Rahor of Green Bay Packer Nation writes, I see Jackson needs to plant and go. Stop dancing before getting to the line. He's been guilty of that. I haven't seen it a ton this year, but yes, of course, in the zone blocking scheme that the Packers run, that's even, you know, more important. You kind of have to be a one-cut kind of guy and just go. You know, whether the hole is there or not. And sometimes, you know, I think Brandon Jackson has been a victim of vision, not seeing the holes when they are there. You know, perhaps not seeing those backside cuts that eventually do open up. That, I think, is probably a little bit more, you know, the reason than the, you know, dancing in the line of scrimmage. No, certainly he's done that as well. But, you know, the vision is not what I like to see. It's not at the level of a Ryan Grant from Brandon Jackson. You know, I wanted to give Brandon Jackson the benefit of the doubt. I thought he had such a good training camp, not just during preseason games, but practices as well. And I thought, wow, this is the year. You know, he's certainly not really stood out his first 3 years in the NFL. And I don't know if it was me wanting to believe he could turn the corner or not, but he really hasn't. And that's been a disappointment so far in this young season through three games. And again, he could very well turn it on. He could very well turn it around. It could happen for Jackson. But time is running out. You're not going to get forever. I mean, Brandon Jackson, you got to realize here too, the clock's ticking on him in that, what if the Packers do trade for a running back? Boy, Brandon Jackson, if you want to prevent that, you want to prevent a trade, start producing. And if they do make a trade, you know, wow, your role is done again, back to third down back, blocking mostly. And I don't think that's what you want. So better start producing. Better start gaining some yards on the ground. If you don't want to touch the ball three times a game, twice on dump passes where you're getting 4 yards, you know, start doing something. Quit dancing. Look at the line in front of you, your field of vision. Make a cut and go, and start grinding out some hard yards, and especially early in the game. John Rahor also writes on the live blog, if we don't get a run game going soon, the target on Rodgers' back gets real big, even more than it already is. True. You know, the Packers will, like I said, probably, if the running game isn't going, you know, settle for those dump-off passes a lot. But if you are third and long, you know, you can't have a dump-off pass. He is going to start to see pressure back there when he has to take 5 and 7 step drops. So, yeah, it could get real big. Dean Shuda writes, my favorite line was when one of the beat writers quoted a scout, Kuhn isn't even an average fullback. Yeah, I seem to remember that as well. John Kuhn has done very well for what John Kuhn is. I don't think anybody ever expected coming into the season that Kuhn would be the running threat that he has been. The problem is, I mean, you know, we would feel so much better about John Kuhn if there was a compliment to him. I mean, I feel good about John Kuhn now, but everybody would feel much better about the running game if there was something better to go with, like Ryan Grant. If Ryan Grant was, you know, churning out 80 to 120 yards every game, and then John Kuhn was making his 20-plus yards on top of that and averaging 4 yards a carry, boy, that would just be peachy. You know, getting your 120 yards total plus on the ground from the entire backfield. Yeah, Dane says again, when Kuhn breaks off his 1 12-yard run each game, I get excited. Pair him with Quinn and things get exciting. Yeah, I mean, it's been so fun to watch John Kuhn rumble for those 12-yard gains where he's just dragging players and seemingly, you know, like every offensive lineman is surrounding him like a swarm of bees and they're just pushing and shoving and driving forward. It's really fun to watch that. It's discouraging, though, when that's all you get. You know, when that happens early in the fourth quarter and the running game hasn't worked up till that point, you're like, God, why can't this happen more often? So, yeah, it's the lack of a running game around Kuhn really tempers that enthusiasm a little bit. So, That does get, frustrating from the fan standpoint, for sure. Another comment, all the criticism of Grant over the years comes full circle the last few weeks. Don't know what you got until it's gone. Certainly, Ryan Grant has not been free of his own critics. A lot of people criticized him for not being able to break the long one, not being able to catch the ball. I mean, he still never offered that, but I mean, now that he's gone, so too are gone those 1,200 yards he's gotten the past 2 years. Whether or not he's been a top flight, top tier running back in the NFL or not, gone are those 1,200 yards that he used to get. So, yeah. Now, talking trade, everybody's favorite topic. Marshawn Lynch is still trending on Twitter, I'm sure. But, the more... I'm becoming more inclined to trade for Marshawn Lynch with every passing day. And it's only going to increase until the running game finally gets going. I've said many times I don't think the Packers should trade A.J. Hawk or T.J. Lang. But the more the Packers fail at the run game, the more the Bills are not going to come down in their trade demands. I think the Bills have no choice, really, but to trade Marshawn Lynch. They have good running backs aside from him. You don't need those three running backs, especially when you are a poor NFL team. You need help elsewhere, whether in the form of the draft, pick or a player or whatever. I mean, the Bills just need help. What's the use to have those three good running backs when, you are 0-3 or whatever? So, I think the Bills will eventually resign themselves to trading Marshawn Lynch. But, if your trading partner is the Green Bay Packers and it is getting near the trade deadline a couple weeks from now and the Packers have still not established a run game, you're not going to come down a whole lot in your trade demands. As far as probably getting a player and a pick. And I realize I'm talking about possibilities that may or may not exist here. But, I have reason to believe that trading is going to become more in vogue in the NFL than it has been in the past. Because of the CBA and all the problems this year with, Vincent Jackson holding out and Logan Mankins upset at the Patriots. And, a lot of these have to do with the CBA and maybe it'll revert back to the old way where there, are no in-season trades if they strike a new CBA. But anyway, I think it could happen. There's a better chance of it this year. And, it's possible. Packer fan John writes, is Quinn Porter an option to come back and get a shot? That's interesting. He is eligible to come off. He was waived, right? Yeah, he was waived injured. I think he is eligible to come back eventually. I don't know if the Packers will go that route. Of course, the wild card here is James Starks, who's now on the physically unable to perform list, and whether he'll be able to come back. But anyway here, folks, I'm going to take a break. It's 8:30. I'm going to get a drink of water here, and I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to the Cheesehead TV morning talk show here on CheeseheadTV.com. Our show is Railbird Central. We have the show every Tuesday and Friday morning at 8 o'clock a.m. Lambo time. Please come back next Tuesday where we will be wrapping up the Detroit Lions game being held this weekend at Lambeau Field. So, thanks for joining us. Once again, feel free to chime in on the live blog on Twitter using either the hashtags Railbird or CheeseheadTV. And before we jump back in here, I have a little bit of an apology. I wrote in yesterday's Packers Daily Links that Nick Collins did not apologize. And apparently he did for the incident with the Chicago Bears fan this past Monday on Monday Night Football after the Packers loss, when he was supposedly called a racial slur and Collins threw his mouth guard at the fan and exchanged words. And that was about the extent of it. All got blown a little bit out of proportion. But anyway, I had written Nick Collins didn't apologize, and apparently he did. According to a quote in the Green Bay Press Gazette, he said, I apologize to the organization, the fans, etc., something like that. I did not happen to read that article in the Green Bay Press Gazette. I listened to the entire portion of the Nick Collins interview that the Packers posted online on Packers.com. It did not include an apology. I transcribed the thing. You can look through the archives at Cheesehead TV for my article, just the post of the transcript from Nick Collins, and it did not include an apology. It was not included in Bill Huber's article. I don't believe it was, included in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article. And, when there's repeats of topics on the Packers beat, I don't read, if I read the article in Packer Report and I read the article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and I watch the interview at Packers.com, and it doesn't include an apology, I kind of assumed he didn't apologize. He didn't say, I apologize or I'm sorry. So, that's where I'm coming from. And I apologize. Bill Huber, he did apologize. And, I said that he didn't. And for that, I am wrong. And I'm sorry. But Let's move on from that, and let's get back into some Packers talk here. And, I said we would talk about the fine of Frank Zombo. And if you go to today's Packers Daily Links, the top issue for our second segment here comes from an article at the Wisconsin State Journal and Jim Polzin. Who, by the way, Jim Polzin is doing a pretty good job on the Packers beat for the Wisconsin State Journal. But he's got a little piece on Frank Zombo getting fined for his unnecessary roughness hit on Jay Cutler this past Monday. And he was fined $7,500 for that hit. And Zombo said, quote, it's going to hurt, especially being an undrafted free agent. I don't really have a whole lot of money. When they find me like that, it definitely hurts. And, we do talk about, Packers players being millionaires, professional athletes in general, and really, the people who don't fall into that category are undrafted free agents. I think I've said this before. Well, once again, $320,000 a year is far more than, you and I probably make, or 99% of the people listening make. A $7,500 hit does kind of hit him in the wallet a little bit, because Frank Zombo is not guaranteed to play any more than a year in the NFL. That $320,000 could be it if he's cut next year. And certainly he's looking like a nice young player who does perhaps have a bright future in front of him. But yeah, that is a big fine. Just this morning I noticed Max Ginsburg at the blog PurplePantsGreenJersey.com wrote an article about do fines deter players from hits? And he just wrote it this morning, just posted it this morning, so I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But, that's a little bit of a topic we can get into. Do fines, deter players from making hits like that? It's an interesting thought, and I encourage everybody to go check out PurplePantsGreenJersey.com. And Packer fan John writes, "It's great that Zombo mentioned Kevin Green said he would help him out with the fine." That's interesting. I have not heard that yet. Have not read that anywhere. Perhaps I just glossed it over. I don't think it was in the Wisconsin State Journal article that I just mentioned. But that's interesting. Kevin Green said he would help him out. That's great. So they're going to go halvesies on it, I'm sure, huh? But that is kind of cool. So, what does everybody else out there in Cheesehead Nation think? Do fines deter players? Please, give your thoughts on the live blog. Tweet it or call into the show. The phone number is 646-797-2909. Feel free to call in with your thoughts on either the fine or the running game, which we talked about pretty much the whole first half of the show. And we're going to get into special teams in a little bit here. And John Rahor writes, "If fines deter play, that is a major problem. Players should never change their style of play out of fear of losing money." That's interesting. Whether changing their style of play, of course I've been a critic of Zombo's hit in that he should have lowered his helmet, and I think he had the opportunity to do it. I think young Mr. Zombo has to realize his helmet was too high, and especially in today's day and age in the NFL, that comes against a quarterback, you're going to be penalized. I don't necessarily think back of his mind, there's got to be that penalty threat, but I do think that the fine threat, but he does have to be aware that a penalty can impact the team in a negative fashion. And he just had to lower his helmet 6 inches, not by a lot, but he's got to realize, hey, if I hit this guy high, this could wipe out an interception. This could give them a first down. This could put them in field position for a field goal. Those are things I think he does have to think about that could negatively impact the Packers. Jamie Lee writes, "I agree with John. I don't want the player to be thinking anything besides the game while they're playing." I see what you're saying. You don't want them thinking out there. You want them, just playing with instinct and reacting to what's in front of them. But they do have to be cognizant of when they can impact the outcome of a game, as I believe the hit on Cutler did have, for Zombo. Jamie Lee writes, again, I think Zombo's form and discipline will improve with time. You know, yes, I do think he will improve with time as well. And that's always an encouraging thought. All right. Talking about special teams here. Good article today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Tom Silverstein. And how the Packers played poorly against the Chicago Bears on special teams. And we do have a thought from somebody out there in Packer Nation. And let me get to this. Good morning. You're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
Robert Hammer.
Good morning, Robert. How are you today?
Not bad. I was looking for Adam.
I'm sorry?
I mean Aaron.
Oh.
Yeah.
Aaron's not available.
He's not available.
You are live on air right now.
I'm live on air?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you have a comment?
No. How do I reach somebody about a product? We print newspapers, Greatest Moments in Packet History, New York Times newspapers.
Very good. Please write contact@cheeseheadtv.com.
Contact@cheeseheadtv.com?
Very good, yes. I got to let you go because we are live on air. Thank you very much. That's not what I was expecting. Aaron, you have somebody wanting to contact you. Contact@cheeseheadtv.com. Wow. As I was saying, getting back to the special teams article from Tom Silverstein at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Mr. Silverstein writes, Coach Mike McCarthy felt that part of the reason the special teams let down was that several players who looked on Wednesday as if they might be able to play on Sunday wound up being ruled out Friday because of injury. Eventually, it became a board game of trying to move players in and out and around. So, here the Packers are, you know, kind of blaming injury for the special teams' shortcomings of last Monday night's game loss to the Chicago Bears. You know, they didn't have the services of Charlie Peppra. They didn't have the services of Mike Neal or Brad Jones. And they thought they would, perhaps. So that kind of affected the game planning. And that will be interesting to see whether or not the coaching staff makes decisions on inactive players earlier than in the week than normal. But, you know, I think the point to be made here with this whole special teams issue is that, you know, you can't really blame injuries and personnel for what happened in the loss to the Chicago Bears. Maybe you can blame it on the one punt return for a touchdown when players perhaps didn't know what they were doing, that Devin Hester returned, but you can't blame personnel on the other long return from Hester that was just simply a poor short punt with little hang time from Tim Masthay. I think that falls totally on the shoulders of the punter and not to do with anybody who's injured. You can't blame injuries or personnel on the blocked field goal because the people who allowed the field goal, Brian Bulaga, Josh Sitton, anybody else. You know, they were going to be active anyway. They knew those guys would be active. So you can't blame that. So really, I mean, you know, we're talking about one play here that, you know, I think the coaches shouldn't really go that direction. You know, talking about special teams as a whole, when really, you know, you're talking about maybe one play where that had an impact. I mean, other, you know, take away the touchdown, the blocked field goal, the other return, and the special teams did all right. You know, there were no other big problems for special teams on the evening. So, I mean, really, you have to isolate this a little bit, and I'm not sure we can blame, you know, injuries and whatnot on the poor play on Monday. And we got a lot of comments coming in here on the live blog, and I want to get to some of them. Packer fan John writes, Corliss looked terrible on the Hester touchdown. A light block took him right out of the play. I agree, John. Andrew Corliss did not look good at all on Monday night. And maybe he had wide eyes in his NFL debut as a rookie. But, you know, he can't play like that from here on out. If the Packers want to rely on him, whether it's on offense or special teams, you know, he doesn't deserve to be active if he plays like that. Paul Gertz writes, when are the Packers going to find people who aren't injured all the time? You know, that happens for every team, though, Paul. You know, I'm not sure we can use that excuse with injured all the time. I don't think it happens to the Packers more than any other team in the NFL who have to deal with injuries. So, you know, I'm not sure we can say that. And John Rahor writes, injuries are part of the game, happens to every team. Isn't the decline in talent on special teams that drastic on this year's team? What is interesting is that the Packers did get the services of Corey Hall and Desmond Bishop on Monday, when they did not have their services the week before against the Buffalo Bills. So seemingly, two of your better special teams players were involved in a game that they played worse in than the game against the Bills, when the Packers had a good special teams effort. So, yeah, and Pride of Cucamonga says, not to mention Corliss's drop on offense. Yes, you know, Andrew Corliss had the drop in the end zone, which would have been a touchdown when JerMichael Finley was out of the game, and seemingly, you know, Finley would have played in his spot had he been healthy on that play. So, you know, Andrew Corliss, you know, not helping the cause in on several fronts. Anyhow, folks, I am seeing several comments, people trying to comment through Cover It Live. Let me just, one more, those of you who have joined us late, nobody is being a moderator today, nobody's approving comments. We are only taking comments by Twitter today. So tweeting with the hashtags Railbird or CheeseheadTV, as you see other people doing on the live blog, that's all that's happening. So, you know, I realize some people have joined in late and not realizing that. So please join us on Twitter and join in the conversation, or call into the show and you know, with somebody intending to call the show to make a comment instead of a sales pitch. that made my day, I guess. Not made it, but that's, I don't know, got a chuckle out of me and out of all of you too, I'm sure. Jamie Lee writes, a true championship team will find ways to overcome injuries. You don't plan for it, but make adjustments and aim for quality depth. Packer fan John writes, who are the gunners on punt coverage? The gunners have been, I believe, Brett Swain and Jared Bush. So, I know Pat Lee, I believe, at one point was a gunner, but of course he wasn't active against the Bears. But, you know, Jared Bush is your best gunner. You know, he's, I think that's, you know, just as long as Jared Bush stays away from penalties, and knock on wood, he has so far this year, that is like his most valuable role on the team, is when he can be a gunner. I mean, he is arguably the fastest player on the team. For those of you that don't know, Jared Bush ran Division I track at Utah State and was a pretty good one. I believe he was an all-conference hurdler in the 110 highs. And I've always thought that Jared Bush is exposed a little bit of a football player from the physical standpoint when he has to make tackles and things like that. I don't think he is as adept at that as other players. You know, I think he's the kind of guy who looks good in a non-padded practice because he doesn't have to get physical. He looks fast in non-padded practices and training camp. And really, you know, and as a gunner, you can be effective and not having to be physical, especially as we saw in the Eagles game when Tim Mastay was doing directional punts to DeSean Jackson and pinning him along the sideline, and Jared Bush can just use his speed to force a fair catch, or perhaps hasn't happened yet, but you know, getting down the field and, you know, downing a ball inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5. Jared Bush can be good at those kind of things. So, I think there is some value there. Some Pride of Cucamonga says on the live blog, didn't Mike McCarthy say they were planning to work Nance into special teams this week? Yes, he did mention that. That Dimitri Nance has shown some good things to be part of some coverage units. In the game against the Bills, when Nance was active, he was on the kickoff unit. I don't think he was on the first string unit at the beginning of the game, you know. But once the Packers started to go up by 3 touchdowns, I think in the second half he joined them, if I'm correct, if memory serves me well. And he was part of those units, of course, with very little preparation time, just being there, you know, arriving in Green Bay days before. So it'll be interesting to see how much Dimitri Nance, Brookrubay, you're using it fine. Perfect. What's the Railbird hashtag? You're using it great. Or I suppose she doesn't even know what it's for. She's not even watching the show, huh? Oh, well. Somebody get her over here. Watch this show. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think you're going to see Dimitri Nance active this week. So, perhaps, not only on special teams, you're going to see him more involved in the run game. And maybe that'll help pick things up a little bit. I would assume they're going to share the ball again. You know, Mike McCarthy seems to be the kind of guy who is not going to give, who's not going to give the ball to Brandon Jackson 20 times a game. So perhaps, you know, Jackson's going to get 10 carries and John Kuhn's going to get 5 and Dimitri Nance is going to get 5. And everybody is going to join the running game a little bit, and everybody's going to contribute. Pardon me, everybody, if I seem distracted. I have 3 computers in front of me and trying to control many things all at the same time, so I do apologize if I seem distracted at times here and lose my train of thought. Perhaps one final issue for the day here, just going through some of the injuries and things before the Lions game. Some final notes here. As we see here, Brandon Chiller has been classified as doubtful by head coach Mike McCarthy. And we see later on today's Packers Daily Links, cornerback Sam Shields was added to the injury report. And finally, above that, rookie Mike Neal may finally make his NFL debut. So these are all some things to watch for in Sunday's game that'll be a little bit interesting. You've got Brandon Chiller who might be out, and we might see a little bit of Desmond Bishop in the sub-packages. Desmond Bishop has played very little, if at all, on defense this year. So it'll be good to see a little bit of him. And Brandon Chiller, doubtful. So what else do we have? Sam Shields. Kareem Copeland of the Green Bay Press Gazette said his injury didn't appear to be serious. So I would expect, we should find out later today how Sam Shields is doing. Whether he practices or not today will be a big indicator of whether or not he'll be able to go on Sunday. I would hate to lose him. He has done a pretty good job so far. I would like to see him continue to learn and continue to develop. So I hope Sam Shields plays. And also Mike Neal. Gosh darn, I hope he's active on Sunday. I really want to see him in action. He looks so good in training camp and the preseason that I think he can make an impact on defense and really help the Packers out. So those are a couple things to look for on Sunday. And that's just about it here this morning, as it's 9 o'clock and I'm going to wrap up here very shortly. Thanks everyone for coming and listening and watching. Once again, I think later today we'll finally have the show up on iTunes. So I'm going to podcast it and excited to do that. And so make sure to, get an iTunes subscription to Cheesehead TV and all of our shows here. Packer Transplants is always podcasted as well. Join us on Sunday for the game. We'll have our typical live blog during the game. I'll be doing a post-game show following the game as well and talking about what the Packers did on Sunday. Hopefully they get a win. So once again, from everybody at Cheesehead TV, thanks for joining us today and have a good weekend. Go Badgers tomorrow as they take on the Spartans, and we'll see you later.